Nicholas.
Nicholas, my friend.
How are you?
Good, good. I'm looking over my list of your clients and my clients and your FA is just kind of.
Did you start working with Luca? Luca.
Yeah.
He's not in my office though. I know him. Luca. Forgot his last name. Anyway, you started with him?
Yes, I did. And
okay.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I'm having a good time. I'm having a, you know, it's a fun, challenging experience with all the guys. Because they're different, you know. It's, Luca Magic, right? And they,
Luca Magic. Mm-hmm. Luca Magic.
Argentina. And it's only Argentina. So we're having fun. I appreciate the, appreciate the referrals and the interest and the challenges. I think these guys all get, you know, they all need help. And, you know, I can help. I have to, you know, I have to put my brain to work because it's not my usual, you know, situation. So it's fun, though.
Right, right.
But it's very fun, very fun. So how are you? How are you holding up in all this?
To be honest with you, it's been a couple of tough weeks, if you will, having some, last week I was traveling down in Uruguay, that was good, that was fun. I went with a financial advisor down there, we visited some prospects, some clients, but mostly prospects, so that was fun. I remember we talked about getting more involved in the commercial side and helping a face drive business, so that was fun.
Yeah.
And then just dealing with a couple of too many compliance and risk issues and calls and situations in the face. So that's been taking a lot of my time lately. This industry is so it's often structured in a way that just generates all these excesses, you know, and I don't know. And we don't have the right times to supervise until something is really, really getting ugly and bad. And that time is probably too late. So, dealing with a couple of those situations, unfortunately, but it's part of the job. It's part of what we need to do, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it kind of relied maybe a little too much on my compliance risk people, and you know how it is, right? When it is to risk and compliance, you need to get involved, you need to be on the details. So sometimes it's just a good reminder not to delegate too much, or delegate but follow up and stay on top and stay informed.
Nico, it's always the 80-20 rule, if not the 90-10 rule. And you have got, you always know who the, you know, in your heart, if you went through the office today, you could think of who are the people that I need to have excess supervision on. And you really literally need to do that. You need to say, okay, who are my issues? And who are my people I totally trust? Very few times do the people you totally trust become the people that you need to worry about. Maybe that's the case in this one, but I doubt it. Is it?
Yeah.
Or not?
No, it's your right.
Yeah, so don't waste your time on the people you already trust. Take your time for the people that you don't trust, that need the supervision. They will do better. They will survive because you hammer them. Okay? Otherwise, they will kill themselves and you'll be out of the
room. Yeah.
So never back off. Okay? So it's 90-10. Your time goes, your compliance time goes to hammering those guys and make sure they are toeing the line or you take the initiative and fire them. Okay? Because I could have, you know, if I had been in place for two or three guys, I could have saved them. from themselves. But because I got promoted and was running the district and not, you know, not my office, and then I retired, those guys went out and blew themselves up. And they will do it. Trust me, they will do that. And you can save them, but you are not going to save them by being nice. You're only going to save them by just beating the hell out of them.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, so that's maybe what's going on. And then on the business front, I think things are going relatively okay. Obviously, it's a little bit more complicated. I think I'm hitting, I somehow feel that I'm hitting a little bit of a wall. And I was talking to one of my FAs the other day with whom I do some coaching, and he kind of, I don't know, made me feel that maybe kind of stop forcing or trying to force everyone into the Supernova program. I don't know, I'm struggling a little bit with that. I would like to have more people enrolled, but I feel I've discussed it with many people. I'm at that point where I need to do something different to get other people on board. I have another guy that is waiting to probably do the program, but we haven't been able to hire his CSA yet, so he's waiting for that. But he's kind of sold on that.
That's good.
Another guy that is talking to him, I think he would benefit terribly from doing it. He would really benefit from doing it. I just don't want to force them, you know. I think they need to feel that need. They need to want to do it.
You're right.
Sometimes with, and this thing, and you probably went through this, and I think we've spoken when you say you need to be a little crazy, right? But sometimes it's a little exhausting when you are trying to push people to do something. And it's kind of, if they don't want to do it, you can't force them to do it. And sometimes, to be honest with you, sometimes I get a little exhausted on just trying to get people to trying to light their fire, you know?
Right.
I get a little exhausted. At times.
Well, one of the things, I don't know if I've shared this with you, but one of the things I call it the pilot light. It's kind of the theory of the pilot light. You gotta, when you're working with somebody where you just, they are just sort of not the person they could be, but you haven't given up on them. You know that situation, right? What you do is you ask them, when were you, I mean, tell me about when you were amazing. You know, when you did something you were most proud of. You know, when you, tell me about your, you know, a fun success as a kid or as an athlete or in business, you know. And they will, and you'll discover some really interesting things. And watch them light up when they talk about it.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, like, my brother is a perfect example, right?
What, sorry?
My brother is a perfect example. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Nobody knew what a freaking hero he was, okay, because he always played the role of kind of the curmudgeon, you know, the second, just sort of a, didn't take much of an initiative. But if you knew about him, you could really work him hard, because his history is that, you know, when he was a kid, he was an amazingly talented athlete. He played first base for the high school team when he was a freshman. He, even when he was in junior high, played for the high school team. He was that good a hitter, and he was that good a first baseman. But he But then he played tennis, and he was number one on the tennis team, went on and played in college and was undefeated, played in national tournaments when he was 13 and 14 and, you know, beat people like Dickie Stockton and stuff like that. I mean, he has some amazing, but, you know, you meet him as an adult, you know, you'd never know that stuff, right? He's just not that kind of guy. So the key for him is asking him, tell me about, you know, sometime when you were a star, you know, when you really were killing it. And then what you do is you connect today's opportunity to that time, that feeling. Tell me about that feeling you had when you won that match at, you know, Lookout Mountain, or, you know, when you did that. How'd you feel? Oh, I felt great. You know, and then you watch them light up. You haven't seen them light up like that ever, probably, in your presence, right? And then connect that feeling to today's opportunity. You know, you can feel that way again. Well, what do you mean? Today, this world that we let work in is just like that. It's a competition. It's a game. Well, what do you mean it's a game? Well, we have a game here, you know. It's called winning, going to these recognition events, you know, having an opportunity to travel and, you know, be a star. Let's do it. You know, you're a star, then you can be a star here. Let's figure it out, you know. And then you try and connect your environment to that tennis environment, where it's competitive and it's fun and you compete and you win. And because he knows how to win, you know. So, you know, what would winning look like for you here? You know, what would that feel like? What would, you know, I wonder why you don't compete. You know, is it because you're afraid, because you might lose? Is it, you know, and just try and get into some of the psychology and what makes them not achieve the way they used to. Because if a person ever was a winner, they can be a winner again. To me. You know, I don't care whether they played first violin in high school or they, you know, they were the chess champ or they won their,
what,
you know.
What about if they, what about if their heart is not in this business? Do you consider that possibility? I mean, I think...
Oh, sure. Yeah. But like, my brother loved the business. He just didn't understand how to compete. And I never took the time to, if he worked for me, I would have busted his ass. He'd have been a fabulous producer. But, you know, he didn't, and he wouldn't listen to me. So, you know, he loved it. He recommends Supernova to everybody, but he wouldn't do it himself. And I told you that story at the end, right?
I never heard that.
Yeah. At the end of his career, the last 2 years, he kind of joined a team, annuitized his business, started making regular phone calls, and then it went from like, you know, 800,000 to 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, you know, why didn't you make me do this shit earlier? I said, you know what I said to him? It's not for publication, right?
I can imagine.
So, you know, can you save them all? No. But you've got the same thing in you that I have in me. You want to save them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some guys that, no way, you got to stay away from them. Either they're negative, or they are true curmudgeons, okay?
Mm.
And once you make that decision, you stay the heck away from them. You pop your head in, you know, be nice to them, but don't spend any time with them.
Yeah. So I was talking to Mizanu, and she's 3-year-old. I mean, I don't know when you spoke with her last, but she's super busy, super excited. We were talking last week about her needing more help now because she has so many things for her plate and opportunities and prospects, and people are contacting her because of her advertising, so it's happening. He was going to do a talk at our Portfolio Manager Institute about how to use financial planning to strengthen relationship with clients. So I offered to do that in my office here because he's in a different office. So, you know, when you bring someone from outside, people pay more attention.
Of course.
So she's super excited. And so are Roxanne and Rick and Amelia and everyone else. I mean, the Puerto Rican guys, they're engaged in some marketing activities in Puerto Rico again. So the guys seem to be on track. I just need to find do some activity. Maybe do take a small group out to lunch with Mizanu and some of these guys. Let's see if we can fire them up.
That's right. And what I recommend is just one team, one guy with Mizanu. You know, the three of you. That kind of thing. It's very personal. It's a nice, and they can ask all the questions they want, but they know why they're there, And that's sort of a fill-or-kill meeting. You're not going to do that with everybody. You can't do it all the time. But rather than you hammer them, let me use a new hammer them, and if you can't solve, you're done.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But I think that would be, that's what I did. When I wanted to convert guys to money management in the old days when people wouldn't listen to it, I would take a money manager, an FA that was doing money management with an FA that's never done it.
Uh-huh.
And I'd take them to dinner, and we would sit down and hash it out. And it worked. One at a time. People say, how do you convert an office? I said, one at a time, man. No easy work.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so that's my next challenge, next chapter.
And then you know what else? Go find some guys with some fire at other firms. You don't have to convince everybody in your office to do it. Sometimes you've hit on the winners in your office.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Go find a winner at the other office, at another firm, and hire him and give him what you would give to your FAs. And he'll be fired up and want the attention and want the help, and he hires me and you and I work with him, and he's like, holy crap, where have I been my whole life? Why did I stay at XYZ firm?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're close to hire someone from a Safra bank, but then some regulatory issues with Safra were surfaced. I don't think we spoke about that. And so Morgan Stanley decided to stop hiring from Safra. I don't put a freeze on hiring anybody from Safra. So that was unfortunate because she was great. I think she was a great FA, and we've been talking for 5-6 months, and we're really close. So we need to go and find someone else now.
But did she go somewhere else, or did she just quit looking?
I think she said she had another alternative. I haven't touched base with her. This was probably 2-3 weeks ago, and I basically let her know that we could not hire her, move forward with her. So I haven't touched base with her to see what she done, but if she went somewhere.
Was it because of a lawsuit? Were they suing you because of bank regulations and that stuff facing your clients?
It seems we hired a couple of guys in New York, and we had some issues with those guys, compliance related. And I guess people got a little scared that maybe Safra didn't have tight controls, so they decided... they decided to not take the risk of hiring people from Safra because they think they may come with some luggage.
They threw everyone
in the same. Yeah.
Doesn't that make you feel good? It's like, I call that speed bump management. You know, they make everybody drive over the speed bump because they got a bad experience with one driver, you know.
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, go back to her, check up on her, see how she's doing, just as a friend. And
yeah.
then call back to your firm and say, you know what, I know you had to do this, but can we revisit this this situation, because you're not a really good person and they're not a compliance issue, and it's kind of dumb to put a you know, to do this on the whole firm. Okay.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. You know how these firm, big firms are, right? It's so sometimes when the father up that you go.
It's when compliance is running the firm, okay?
Yeah. And no one wants to take any risk, right? So I called the head of recruiting and say, listen, I feel really confident that she doesn't have any compliance issue. I mean, can we make an exception? But then, I mean, again, when you look at the risk, right, is why would she take the risk of saying yes, and if something goes wrong, she has nothing to win other than one more headcount and
Do you have a chance to be with upper management? Do you have a meeting coming up or anything like that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right, so that's your chance, right?
Yeah.
Say, you know, I know this isn't your decision, but, you know, there's a time for us in the line, the people that actually do things for a living, to, how do I say it, gain control of the firm back from compliance? And I got a great person who I had all lined up, really want to hire her. I know we put down that rule, but you know what? This is a great exception.
Yeah, okay. Yes, I wanted to touch base with you on, we haven't spoken since, so finally, MyFA that was had a partnership with Roxanne and Ricardo. We've spoken about that for quite some time. She's retiring, right?
Yep.
She announced that she's retiring. So, anything about that that came up in your conversation with Rick and Roxana?
I mean, they're doing great with it. Yeah, we got real squared away on what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing and how to manage that. And I don't remember that it was anything negative. I just wanted to not, you know, not waste time to be efficient. There were 28 clients in the end, in my mind, in my brain, that were good clients. Isn't that funny how things stick in your head? 28 clients out of the whole thing that fit their minimums and that would be good clients. And I said, you know, work on those. And, you know, it's a great situation. Be patient. But don't stop prospecting. Okay,
yeah,
that was
okay.
The thing. They said that Nico told me to just concentrate on these. I said, no. I said, it's called the genius of the end. Okay?
I just don't want them to miss your opportunity. It's always easier to retain a client than to win a new client. So I just don't want them to lose the opportunity to retain 100% of his clients, right?
But you're going to get 100%, okay? Because they got 12-4-2 going, they got rapid response, they got, you know, financial planning. You're going to do all that, right? But I said, once you shut down your marketing, it takes you, you know, months to start it up. 6 months to get it going again. So your meetings with your centers of influence, the things you got going, don't stop those. Because you will, you know, once you stop marketing, then you're back to zero. So I'm not discounting the importance of keeping these clients. I said the key for these clients, I think I shared this with you. We always said, everybody said, oh yeah, I'm keeping the client. I said, you don't have a client till they do something. with you, meaning they make a transaction or they change an asset manager or they change an asset allocation. I said, so not only do you set them up for 1242, but I want you to do something with them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that will tell you that they're listening to you and you have control and therefore they're okay. Client.
That's interesting.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Very important because you know that. You hand out, somebody leaves and hand out clients. Everybody says, oh yeah, he said he's staying, and then, you know, 2 weeks later you get the ACAPS, right? So they're not staying unless they do business. And so that's the key. To get them to do business. So,
okay.
And I said, the 1242, that will keep them, okay? That will get them to listen to you, but you've got to get them to do a transaction. In the meantime, you've got some great centers of influence. That's just treat those like client meetings. So keep your client meetings going, your center of influence meetings, and then you incorporate these new clients into your system and go see them. You know, quiz. Put a full court press on it. But that doesn't mean you don't have time, you know, you don't have time to keep your marketing up.
Okay, so, I'm going to sit on the marketing.
Yeah, I don't tolerate, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I got to do this, I can't do any of this anymore. That's for me, it's like, stop it, you know. It's like you. It's like you saying, I've got too much compliance issues, I can't recruit anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know what? That's not correct.
That's an excuse.
No excuses. At the end of the year, you and I are going to be measured on the things we did, not on our, you know, how great a job we did on compliance. Yeah, that'll get us fired, but we're going to be measured on how well we were able to bring in new business. Recruiting FAs, bringing in new business, generating organic growth. That's what they care about. They tell you it's compliance, but they don't. That's not what they care about at the end of the year. And that's when they're writing the check, right? When they're writing the check, it's all about growth. So we want to grow. Yes, it's very important to keep those 28 clients, but it's critical that they keep their rituals going that they started. So that's like Amelia.
Okay.
Just a comment on Amelia. She got off track. And not bad, but just 1 week off track. And I talked to her about, you know, the concept of the personal trainer and how important it is to maintain those rituals every week to make her calls and keep. And I said, so make a contract with Nico and with me and with Abe or whoever else you need to. But you need to keep that machinery running because you love it, it works, and you're doing great, but if you stop, you know, it's hard to start again. So you've got to get some bilateral contracts going where you don't you feel terrible to disappoint all of us, right? So you can't tell anybody what you're doing, and then ask them to hold you accountable. And she liked that. She liked that a lot. But, you know, those are the comments that stick out. She's doing great, but she needs to keep it going. You know, she's all about acquisition now. She has no excuse. She needs to just keep moving.
Right.
Okay. I'm a top coach, aren't I?
That's why they hire you. We hire you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want me to be an easy coach on you or anyone, right?
No, absolutely.
Now you and your coaches that were easy on you.
No, absolutely.
Okay,
so I'm going to plan how to get that some of these guys fired up. I like that conversation.
Yeah, it's a fun conversation anyway, even if it doesn't work. You know more about them. And you know what? You gain a lot of respect for them for having been a winner at some point and done something pretty special. So, you know, I always say, love them all like they're your, you know, the children of your best friends. and treat them with great. Even, you know, as long as they're in your office, you treat them great. That doesn't mean you spend a lot of time with them, because you can't. If they're not going to grow or commit, you cannot do that. You just have only a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. So it becomes, you know, the 80-20 rule. You spend 80% of your time on the people that are growing. And, you know, so you have 20% of your time equally spaced among those that aren't. And they're your utilities that pay the bill and fund the growth stocks. And I did that with allocation of sales assistants and everything else. And people knew, you know, the currency of the office is growth. So, you know, I love you, but, you know, these guys have a higher PE. So, you know, we price their value more. You want to get more value, get more resources, grow.
Okay.
I always said, fair, but not equal. Fair but not equal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, those people that are much more focused and determined than others.
They're giving you the result. Yeah.
Just complacent.
And so therefore they don't get the resources. We start to give them less resources in terms of sales assistance and everything else. Again, it doesn't mean that you don't love them, you know. I always say it. You care about them, you listen to them, but you just don't have the time for them, and you don't have the money for them. So, you take away resources and give them to the people that, you know, overspend on the people that are growing because they have a higher PE.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, my friend.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's enough. Again, I just need to focus on some 101s, I think.
That'll get you. Get back on track with the 101.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll either buy in it or they won't. And, you know, sometimes it's just not the right time, you know, and that's okay.
Hmm.
Not the right time. And you don't give up. You just, you know.
We won't give up. We won't give up.
Right.
We'll keep hammering.
They see it coming and they go, oh, Nico, I'm going to sign up. You know?
Yeah.
People used to come up to them because we were doing the masters all the time.
That's what you don't want, right? They see you coming and say, oh, here comes Supernova again. He's going to talk to you about Supernova.
They would confess. I'd be like, I'm just saying hello. And they'd be like, I didn't do such and such. I'm sorry. I didn't do this or I didn't do that. I'm like, hey, I'm just here to say hello. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
Because they know you, right? They know what you're after. But that kind of craziness, that kind of obsession gets you where you need to go. And you just have to keep after it. You just have to, you know, gain its strength, keep working out, proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet, and just keep yourself as a great corporate athlete. You can't sustain it unless you take care of yourself. So make sure you're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, excellent. I needed the call to get my mind out, a little bit out of the compliance and risk issues.
I know. Yeah. Okay, my friend.
Okay.
I love what you're doing. Anytime, call me. Anytime, any questions, email me, text. Happy to handle anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay? You're welcome.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.